We're together. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. You may be seated. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to be asked to participate in this conference. And appreciate the Haman family, as many have said already. They're special people and known all over Pentecost for their kindness and love for the truth. And I'm glad to be associated with them and appreciate them very, very much. The minister brethren that are here, appreciate them. And the Texas boys that are here, I especially appreciate them. Texans are going to stick together. Hallelujah. Brother Doug White, a friend of mine, and we served together on the Texas District Youth Committee years ago together. Maybe not too long, but a year or two or three ago. And appreciate him. Also, my good friend, Brother Pixler. And a year or two ago, we were together at a camp meeting out in the great state of Arizona. And they put us together in a cabin that was just right outside the door of the tabernacle, an open air tabernacle where you can just, and our cabin was just right over here. Nice facilities and had everything that you needed, but the most important thing, and that's an air condition. I don't know why people in Arizona think you don't need air conditioning in July. I've been out there for several weeks and I've learned not to complain about the heat, because every time I say something about the heat, they say, well, at least it's not like it is in Houston with all that humidity and that water in the air. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't make any difference if you're boiled or you're barbecued, you're still cooked. ...116 degrees... They put us in this cabin, and the first night we endured, and the next morning we decided that we were going to Walmart to buy us an air condition. So we left and went to Walmart and bought the biggest air-conditioned window unit that you can get. We got back to the campground, and lo and behold, service had already started. And we come walking around the corner, and we're both carrying this air-conditioned between us. And I looked over, and every head I could see was turned looking at us. Church going on, here we come bringing this air-conditioned in. I asked Brother Pixler, I'm not going to take too much credit for this. I don't think it was my idea. Might have been a little bit. I asked him, I said, what are we going to do about this air conditioning? He said, well, we're going to take it back when we're through. I'll tell you right now, I've never done anything like this before until I got with Brother Pixler. And I said, well, you know, something's going to have to be wrong with it for us to carry it back. And he said, we'll find something wrong with it. Remote control air condition, honest to God. I'm talking about it would freeze you out at night. We sat there, I promise you, you think I'm exaggerating. We sat there for over an hour trying to think of a reason why we could tell those people we brought it back. We both had flown in there, so you can't put it in your suitcase and fly out. You know, so we finally enjoyed it until the camp meeting was over, and we went back to Walmart and carried it up there to returns. The only thing I knew to tell the lady was it worked too good. Brother, all she asked was, she said, "Is there anything wrong with it?" We said, "No, nothing wrong with it." She said, "Good, we'll put it back on the shelf." So we got our money back and left. Made a memory. Every time I see Brother Pixler, I'm reminded of my sin. So I've repented all over again. And I'm sure if he hasn't repented, he'll repent before he gets up here and preaches in a minute. Hallelujah. But I appreciate Brother Pixler very, very, very much. And all the great music. This orchestra has been tremendous. And we're not blessed like that very often to go to churches that have an orchestra, and you're blessed. Brother Kelly's doing a wonderful job there. Brother Spell and Brother Carter combining to do the music. I think the songs they have chosen have been perfect, been in the will of God. And I appreciate them so very much. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word, turn with me first to the book of Exodus, chapter number 34. Elder Heyman, you got here too late to hear all the good things I said about you. Oh, they were wonderful. Hallelujah. I tell you what, from the part of the country that I'm from, the name Heyman is a special name. Brother Heyman's father started many churches in Louisiana and the state I was born in, and we have grown up. We reverence that name, respect that name, and glad that the same love for the truth is being passed down even to this third generation and to the fourth generation, I assume. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Verse 33. "Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." If you would turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 12. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'd like to call your attention again to verse 12 and 13. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Verse number 12 and 13 in the New American Standard reads like this: Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not as Moses, who used the veil to cover his face, that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. Another translation says, He put on the veil that they might not look on the end or the fading of the glory. The veil was the symbol of concealment. I want to preach to you this morning from this thought, faded glory. Faded glory. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts right now, shall we? Blessed Savior. We need you today, Savior. We praise your name. We praise your name. Speak to us today. God, use me today. God, I need you right now. Hallelujah. 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 God, we need your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Stir our souls today. Hallelujah. Move across this congregation. God, that your will might be done. We need you. Let's give him a hand clap of praise all over the house. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I've got about 12:30. I'll try not to take over 45 minutes of time. We're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. Moses on Mount Sinai, the Bible said that he had not eaten or drank anything for 40 days. He has been in direct contact with God Almighty. He has been given the Ten Commandments. He comes down from Mount Sinai. The people see him. They start shying away from him. There is something different about Moses. There is something there that they have never seen before. He didn't realize what was happening. The Bible said that he wished not, or he knew not, that his face was shining. But it was a direct reflection of the glory of Almighty God. God's power was reflecting itself from the face of this great man. When Moses realized what was happening, when he realized that the glory of God was shining so greatly, the Bible said that he took a veil and he put it on his face. And every time that he would go out in public, this veil would be placed upon his face. But when he was in private, when he went in to talk to God, the Bible said that he removed the veil until he came back out. I do not know how long that the glory lasted on the face of Moses. But there was one day when he got up. There was one day when he got ready to go out among the congregation. There was a day when he was looking in the looking glass, and lo and behold, the glory of God had faded away. And I can only imagine what must have went through his mind. The children of Israel are so used to me wearing the veil. There is something that is respectful about them when they realize that I am reflecting the glory of God. What are they going to think now when I go out and there's no great shining coming from my face? And so what Moses did is probably what most of us would have done. He put on the veil. And he went out into the congregation. And the veil that had once been used to hide the face of Moses, because it shone so greatly the reflection of Almighty God, now this same veil is being used as a tool of concealment so the children of Israel will not know that the glory of God is no longer present, but it has departed from the face of Moses. This veil now was not a veil to protect the glory, but now it is a veil of deceit. I'm going to walk in their midst like I've walked before. I'm going to act like everything's okay. But down in his heart he knew that there was no great shining. He knew that there was no reflection any longer of God's glory. And I wonder how many churches today that once knew God in all of his power and in all of his glory, but has allowed the world to come in, allowed worldliness in the church, and the glory of God has slowly faded away out of their midst. Some of our young people from our home church went to a youth rally or a youth function recently in our section. They told us about it when they got home, that they said that right before it was time for the service to start, that all the lights in the house went out. There was a drum roll. A voice came across the microphone. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there was an explosion. And laser lights began to flash. And confetti began to fall from the ceiling. And a Christian rock group on the platform began to play a song. And smoke or fog machines was bellowing out all of that smoke. And I want to tell you something. If that's what Pentecost has come to, I'm telling you we are in a sad state of affairs. I'm telling you if we got to rely on a smoke machine, if we got to rely on laser lighting to have a move of God, something has drastically went wrong. I'm telling you what's wrong with an all-night prayer meeting. I said, what's wrong with coming to the church and praying till you no longer have a voice? I'm telling you, I do not believe that God is pleased when we try to rely on gimmicks that this world has to offer. Oh, let's give him some praise right now. Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or outside Tulsa, one of our apostolic churches, preacher was preaching. While he was preaching, he had someone drive a Harley Davidson down the aisle for special effect. I don't think we have to have a Harley up here across the front to have a move of God. Another church had men coming from the ceiling on ropes carrying machine guns. I wonder whatever happened to the old time religion. I wonder what happened to the God of the brush arbor days. I wonder what happened when miracles were prevalent in the church. What happened to those good old days that's being replaced by gimmicks and things that Satan's trying to offer us? We're going the wrong direction. I don't want to be a part of a church where the glory of God has faded. I don't want to be a part of a church where the glory of God has departed. But like Brother Libby said, let's return to the old past. I want to know God in all of His fullness. I want to know God in all of His glory. I want to know God in all of His might. I want to know God in all of His power. Oh, let's give Him a hand clap of praise. There was Samson, whose power from God was contingent on his outward separation from the world. You hear what I said? It was his outward separation that his power and his strength that he received from God. But when he began to associate with the world, he lost his separation. In the book of Judges, chapter number 16 and verse 20, if you put that on the screen. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, and listen to me, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wished, or he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him when she cut off the 7 locks of hair that separated him, for he was a Nazarite, when she took away that separation. And she said, "Samson, the Philistines be upon you." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times." I'm going to tell you, there's some churches that once had the power that we have, that once practiced the truth and separation like we do. But let me tell you what's happened. They consorted with the world, they fellowship with the world, and they've lost the power. But you know what they do? They do like Samson. They do like they did at other times before. Oh, they can still sing the music, and they can still wave their arms to the Lord, and they can still clap their hands, and they can still run the aisles, and they can still shout, but they know not that the Spirit of Almighty God has forsaken them, because they have loved this present world. They might call themselves the charismatic. They might seem to have the answer to every problem and every situation. But the glory of God and the power of God has long departed from their midst. The glory of God has faded. I remember 19 years ago, I took my first church. 13 people there, all of them on Social Security. My wife and I was the youth group. We was in our 20s. I'd go out there and preach to 13 people. It was a few weeks before Easter. The night before Easter morning, I called my dad and I said, "What are you preaching on tomorrow?" He said, "Oh, we having our Easter drama." I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, goodbye." Called a friend of mine. I said, "What are you preaching on tomorrow?" He said, "Oh, we're having our Easter drama." I said, "Yeah, okay." Called another friend of mine. "What are you preaching on?" "Well, we got an Easter play we're having." I said, "Okay. You know, you don't have an Easter drama with 13 old folks." I went out there the next morning. 75 people was there. I was thinking, "Oh my God, look at all these people. I wish we had a drama." I mean, I had 13 members. Everybody else was visitors. Come home to the country for Easter. I didn't hardly know any of them. I started preaching. And I was preaching about the crucifixion. I was preaching just the Easter message. And I come down from the pulpit, and I was standing about right here. And I was preaching about Jesus being arrested and what they done to him. And I started talking about the stripes. And he took stripes for our healing. That's why we have miracles. That's why we see God move. He took stripes for our healing, and he was bruised for me. And I'm preaching, and this elder gentleman sitting on the right all the way to the back gets up. And his wife, they start walking down the aisle. And I'm preaching, and I'm thinking, "Oh, Jesus, what is this? I've just been a pastor a few weeks. Why is this happening to me?" And I just kind of ignore them while they're walking down and I'm preaching. And they walk and they turn and they stop right here. I didn't know what to do. I'm going to be honest with you. I just walked over and said, "Can I help you?" And that gentleman said, "Preacher, do you believe what you just said?" I said, "What'd I just say?" He said, "You said that Jesus could still do miracles and could still heal today. Do you believe that?" And I thought, we might could have had an Easter drama with 13 old folks. I said, "Yes, sir. I did say that, and yes, sir, I do believe it." He said, "Well," he said, "my wife is blind." And said, 13 years ago, when he told him this story, what had happened, and her eyes died in her head. And said she hadn't seen even the light since. He said, "But you just said that God could heal her. So I brought her down here to get healed." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Church, y'all hear what he said?" They nodded. I said, "Well, we're going to pray for her." And I got the oil, and I had the church stand, and I anointed with oil. I said, "Now, God, I did not say I could heal her. But I did say that you could. So, God, I'm going to do all I know to do. I'm going to pray for her. And I'm asking you to do what you said that you would do. I'm asking you to honor your word and give her sight right now in the name of Jesus." And she screamed. And she ran over and picked up a songbook off the front row and opened it up and started reading it word for word. And we jumped and started shouting and rejoicing. And then she screamed again, and I looked over at her, and she started speaking in tongues as God gave her to her. She instantly received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She did not need an Easter drama. Oh, now listen, don't swell up on me and get mad now. We had a lot of dramas in my church since. But an Easter drama is not what she needed, Brother Haman. She needed old time Pentecost. She needed a place where the glory of God could still be found. She didn't need a smoke machine. She didn't need laser lighting. She didn't need to go to a place where the glory of God had faded. But she needed to go to a place where the power and the Spirit of God could still be found. Oh, let's give the Lord praise. Maybe seated. News traveled. That town was Crockett, Texas. Population was about 5,000. News started spreading all over town. This lady prayed through. Her husband prayed through. Their children started coming. Visitors started coming. We had a radio broadcast I just started. Pre-recorded. Baptist preacher came on. I came on. The Church of Christ preacher came on after me. He went to the radio station and did his live. Well, I told about this on the broadcast. Well, he followed me up and he said, I want all you folks to know that's been listening to this false prophet that that didn't happen. He said, the man's a liar. He said, God don't do that anymore. He said, you can't receive sight miraculously anymore. He said, God don't give the Holy Ghost anymore. I got mad. I wasn't full of wisdom. I was 20-something years old. It's been 19 years ago. I called my daddy. That's what you do when you got a daddy. It's older and wiser and pastor to church a lot longer than you have. I said, the Church of Christ preacher just came on and called me a liar. I said, what do you think I need to do? He said, ignore him. I said, oh, no, I ain't doing that. He said, well, what do you have in mind? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm thinking about suing him. He said, for what? I said, for slander. He said, you know, you can't sue him. I said, yeah, I can. He said, you listen to me. You cannot sue him. I said, okay. He said, now what you thinking? I said, I'm just going to go to his house and call him out and give him a good whipping. He said, you can't do that. I said, why not? He said, boy, don't make me bring you home. But you know, it's just why. Next Sunday, he got on there. And he said, that apostolic preacher, he's a liar. He said, there's no miracles going on there. I called my daddy. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You just better get ready to call me home. Because I'm fixing to whip me one Church of Christ preacher. He said, you can't do that. I said, this is two Sundays in a row. I said, if he does it again, he's getting a whipping. My daddy said, you can't do that. I said, Nehemiah told them, if they did what they was doing again, he was going to lay hands on them suddenly. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay hands on him suddenly. He said, ignore him. I ignored him. Brother Conroy, every week, that preacher's a liar. Said, he's taking all those people's money. Yeah, I had 13, but the church was growing. Tithes was $90 a month. I was getting filthy rich. He's taking all them people's money. He's just a crook. Brother, I ignored him. I didn't want to, but I did. I walked out on one Sunday morning. There was a young lady sitting over on the right side about four or five rows from the front, holding a little baby less than 2 years old, had a tumor growing out of his nose on his face, hideous looking. And I preached and gave an altar call, and she'd come to the altar and she wept and cried, and she got up and she was holding this little baby. She said, "Brother Green, my name's Lori so and so." And she said, "I'm from the Church of Christ Church." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "And my baby's got this tumor." And said, "The doctors say that the baby is too weak to do surgery to remove it, that it would die during surgery. But it's hindered its breathing and it might die anyway." She said, "You've been saying that God does miracles here. So would you pray for my little baby that God would give us a miracle?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I took the bottle of oil, anointed her, laid hands on her, prayed for her. Prayed for her. Prayed for her. Nothing happened. She left. She went home. About 3 o'clock, I got a phone call. Answered the phone. Somebody crying in the phone. Oh, God, well, can't understand a word she's saying, but something bad's happened. You're crying on the phone. Well, just get control of yourself and tell me what happened. It was this lady. She said, "Brother Green, I come home. And I was fixing lunch for my family. And I was holding my baby." She said, "And I turned around from the stove. And as I turned around, that tumor fell off and fell on the floor." She came back that night and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I saw that baby boy about 3 or 4 months ago, and he's about 6 inches taller than what I am. I mean, the Lord instantly healed him. So she goes out and starts telling all of her friends. Well, that following Tuesday night, there was a knock on her door, and she opened the door, and the Church of Christ preacher was there with 2 elders. And they said, "Sister Lori, we heard you've been down at that apostolic church." She said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever go down there again, because that man's a false prophet." And she said, "Just stand here for just a minute." And she went and got that baby boy, and she brought him over. She said, "You see this baby? You see where that tumor was?" He looked. She said, "I went to that Pentecostal church, and God healed my baby." And said, "Not only did God heal him, he gave me the Holy Ghost." She said, "You know what I think?" She said, "I think you're the false prophet." She said, "You leave and never come back." In the next 3 months, 19 members from the Church of Christ received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our church. What I'm trying to say is that we need to produce a place where men and women can go and feel the glory and power of Almighty God. We don't want to sell out to the multitude. We don't want to get interested about the number game and get caught up in something from hell. We don't need the devil's gimmicks. We don't need the devil's plan. We don't need a new revelation. But what we need to do is to hold fast to that which we already have. Oh, let's give him some praise. Maybe seated. But many churches use the veil of drama to deceive the people and to conceal the fact that the glory of God is no longer there. Use special effects to move people. When if they would get back to the basics, they'd get back to where they started. The power of God would move the people. There's a church not far from our home church, part of the same organization that I'm a part of. 30 years ago, you couldn't tell any difference. 30 years ago, you couldn't tell any difference in any of the Pentecostals. Y'all remember the fellowship meetings where everybody would go and each preacher would get 5 minutes? Every church in the countryside was there. It wasn't the liberals and the conservatives. We all looked alike. We all talked alike. We all acted alike. Come on now. But something has happened to some of our churches. In this particular church, they've allowed the world in. And the praise singers, the ladies have hair as short as mine. And they've got on their lipstick and they've got on their shorts in church. And I went over there 2 years ago this past Easter for their Easter drama. The place was packed. They put on their drama. It was very moving. People began to weep and cry. They asked for the congregation to stand. Everyone stood. They said, if you want a life-changing experience, I invite you to come to the front. Probably 120 or 30 people stepped out and went to the front. When they got to the front, they said, repeat after me. And they said the sinner's prayer. The usher that seated us that night had on khaki shorts. I'm talking about selling out for the numbers. In that service that night, in that drama service, there were 64 Baptist people that had come together from a Baptist church not too far away. They said, we have never felt anything like we felt here tonight. 64 people changed their membership from the Baptist church to this supposedly apostolic church. 4 months later, every one of them, all 64, left and went back to the Baptist church and said, we did not find what we thought we had found. You know what it is? It's a cotton candy religion. It looks good. It smells good. But when you get a bite of it, there's nothing there. There's no substance. It'll make you feel good for the minute. You can be moved by sensationalism. You can be moved by emotion. But when it comes down to everyday living and get the Holy Ghost and the glory of God down on the inside of you, there's not a substitute for the power of Almighty God. For greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Oh, let's give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Maybe seated. We'll try to bring this thing to a close. But all through God's Word, you find where different ones were selling out. It was Rehoboam that sold out to Shishak, the king of Egypt. He said, you can take all the gold out of the temple. I'll replace it with brass. And the people will never know the difference because it'll look the same. Just as long as it looks the same. It don't have to be the original. I'm reminded of the time that Jehoshaphat was going to battle with Ahab against the Syrians. And he told Ahab, he said, let's inquire of the Lord. And so Ahab called 400 prophets and said, we need to hear from the Lord. And all 400 prophets said, go up to battle. The Lord's going to give you the victory. I don't know what it was about those 400 prophets, but when Jehoshaphat stood there and he looked at those 400 prophets And when he heard their words, Elder Haman, there was something that did not ring true. He wasn't overwhelmed by the number. He wasn't convinced just because they had a large crowd that they was right. But he looked at Ahab, he said, "Isn't there anybody else? Don't you have a prophet of the Lord?" He said, "Well, there's one. But I hate him." That's what he said. "I hate him because he never says anything good about me." He said, "Well, let's hear from him." And so they sent a messenger to Micaiah. And they said, "Now, I'm going to tell you something, buddy." He said, "The 400 done told them they've heard from the Lord. So what you need to do is go back and tell Ahab exactly what he wants to hear." Come on now. That's in the book. That's what people want. They don't want the glory of God. They're satisfied with a substitute. Hello? This generation that we are part of does not want to pay the price for old time religion. We had a church drama at my church that I pastored. The lady in charge of the drama come and told me right before the first night, she said, "Brother Green, do you realize that with all the time we put in here," she said, "do you have any idea how many hours we accumulated everybody's time and the time to build the prophet?" She said, "You know how much time we put in this?" I said, "How much?" She said, "Almost 8,000 hours. Almost 8,000 hours been put into this drama." I just thought to myself, the drama was great. No one got the Holy Ghost, but it was a great drama. But I thought to myself, what if there had been 8,000 hours put into the prayer room? Well, I better not go there. The text said that we use plainness of speech. Can I use plainness of speech for the next 5 or 10 minutes? Or is it going to offend us? Hello? You know, it's all right to beat up on the charismatics. It's all right to jump on them. But I'm going to tell you, there's a tendency in this world to want the easy way out. Hello? We want the easy way. We want to get it, but we don't want to pay the price. I walked into Walmart some time ago. There was a pair of Levi's completely faded. And you know what they had on them? Faded glory. And I thought to myself, yeah, I used to wear blue jeans like that when Mama bought them at Goodwill when my dad was starting a home mission church. But I didn't wear them because I wanted to. I wanted new Levi's. I wanted dark blue. I wanted that crease down the middle of the leg. I didn't want to look poor. I didn't want to look shabby. Are you with me? But now, the generation that we're a part of, that's the way they want to look. Now, I'm not, all you young people wearing them faded looking blue jean skirts, I'm not mad at you. But I'm just saying, it's a generation that we don't have to have the original. I'll be satisfied with just some faded glory. It doesn't have to be what they had when the elder was growing up. It doesn't have to be. My dad told me there was a man that was coming to whip the preacher at a Brush Arbor meeting. And he come running down the aisle. And right before he got to where the preacher was standing, the power of God knocked him flat on his back. And he began to weep and cry and repent. And as he repented, he got up and made his way to an altar. And God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what I long to see in our churches today. I said, that's what I'm hungry for. I don't want to go the other direction. I don't want to go the way of special effects. I don't want to veil a drama in my church. But what I want is a group of people that know how to pray. I want a group of people that know how to touch God. When someone's got cancer, oh, we don't need a laser light show. But we need somebody, an old prayer warrior from the past, that's got a walk with God and knows how to get God's attention. Let's all stand together and give Him praise. In Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Oh. Saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. This is someone that likes the sensationalism. This is someone that likes this speaking in tongues, not because of what it is or what it represents, but because it's different. Because the apostles could lay hands on men and women and they speak in another language. He said, I want to give you some money so you'll give me this power. Go on. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Go on. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You just want sensationalism. You want to wear the veil of special effects, the veil of drama, just an illusion. When Moses saw that after all that time, the reflection of God's glory had departed, I wonder why he didn't walk out the house and make a trip back to Mount Sinai. I wonder why he didn't go back to where he had met God before and say, God, I need a second touch. God, I need another touch. I wonder if we could get our eyes off the church that has 2,500 and 3,000 in Sunday school because they compromise the message. I wonder if we could get our eyes off of the church that has spent $200,000 on their sound system so they can put on drama after drama after drama to move the people, because the power of God has long faded away out of their midst. And to be completely honest with you, I have seen people get up out of wheelchairs and walk. I have seen that. I have seen cancers healed. I saw three blind people in just a midweek service night at our church on Thursday night. Three blind people received their sight instantly. I've seen that. But what stirs my heart is not the times that I've seen it, but the many, many, many times that I haven't. I was preaching Phoenix, Arizona for Brother Garrett last Sunday night. I was preaching about the lady with the issue of blood pressing through the crowd. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, people begin to get up and get out in the aisles and begin to worship. And just a multitude around the front. But while we was worshiping and rejoicing, I seen somebody come into the crowd. And they brought him over on this side. And Brother Heyman, I looked. There was an elderly lady with a withered arm like this. She come all the way through the crowd. And she stood right there. She said, "I want you to pray." I took the oil. I anointed her. Prayed for her. She worshiped God and praised Him. And then she turned and she made her way back to that pew and sat down in the same condition that she had come up there. I'm going to be honest with you, brethren. That bothers me. I'm tired of making excuses while we're not seeing miracles. I'm tired of trying to explain it to saints while we went for months and months and we're not seeing the miraculous. Can I just open my heart for just another minute or two? I'm tired. The Bible said that the multitude would come to Jesus, the sick, the impotent folks, and the Bible said that He would heal them all. Have you read that? Over and over and over. And He would heal them all. And He would heal them all. And He would heal them. Brother White, I long to see that in our church. Well, you can have a prayer service and have all kinds of sick folk come to the front. People in wheelchairs, and you pray for them. And God heals them all. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to pay the price. We're going to have to get back to Mount Sinai. Jesus told His disciples, He commanded them to tarry in Jerusalem. He said, "You stay there and you wait till you're endued with power from on high." How long do we have to wait? He said, "Wait until." Is that what it says in your Bible in Luke? He said, "You wait until." And then He went. And they waited. And they prayed. And they reached out and worshiped God. And in about 10 days, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I wonder what would happen if we would pray until we saw miracles, signs, and wonders. I wonder what would happen if we put 8,000 hours into prayer instead of some little play that we're going to put on once or twice. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God, speak to our heart right now. Say something. God, right now, I need You. God, give us a move of Your power. Let's just talk to Him for a minute, church. Let's just talk to Him. Everyone in the house praying right now.
Oh,
hallelujah.
I got it that way. Hallelujah. And I still possess it today. Though some people doubt, with the victory I'll shout, I got it. I got it that way. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things